Thank you. Go back with me to Hosea 11. Now, Hosea chapter 11. We have a devotional, daily devotional book, many of you have, by J.C. Philpott, entitled Baker's Veil. And I've never seen a better one. I enjoy it so much. And a week or so ago, he merely quoted part of verse 9 and wrote a brief page upon that. I don't know if any of you remember that, but it so blessed me. And just that one line has stuck with me now for well over a week. And I wanted to deal with it. I still want to deal with it. Don't know if I will successfully, but it's a blessed thought. Read with me verses 8 and 9 again, chapter 11. The Lord is speaking to Ephraim. Now, Ephraim is another name for Israel, or God's people, one of the tribes of Israel. Remember, it's Joseph's son, his youngest son, Ephraim, Manasseh. So he speaks of Ephraim. He's speaking of his chosen people. In verse 8, God says to them, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel?" That is, to the enemy. "How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam?" Those are names of two cities of the plains that God destroyed, along with Sodom. That's who those are. So he says, "How shall I destroy you?" He says, verse 8, "My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger." They deserve it. But he said, "I will not. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God." That's what I want us to dwell on this morning. He says, "I'm God, and I'm not man." And this is cause for great joy and rejoicing that we as sinners are dealing with God and not man. Now, the reason God saves sinners is found in Himself, not in sinners. There's no reason why God should have anything to do with sinners. It's not found in them. But the reason is because He's God. That's why. The reason God does what He does. This is the point. Old Brother Scott Richardson used to be so good at making a point and then keep driving it home from several directions. Or that is, drive a nail, set the nail, and keep setting it until it's a nail in a sure place. Now, the reason God does what He does is because He is God and not man. We talk about God's attributes, so that is His characteristics, ways or things that describe our God. I think it was Philpott. Did you read it, Jeanette? You have that, don't you? Nancy, you have that, Baker's Veil. Remember, Philpott said, God really has no attributes. He said, "What will you liken me?" No comparison. God is holy. God is just. God is love. And we're going to see by that how that He does what He does because that's what He is. He must. If that's what He is, that's what He must do. All right? God is holy. God is holy. All He does is holy. It's pure. perfect. God is just. The word just means right. The judge of the earth will do what's right. He cannot do anything wrong because he's just. There is no Spanish word equivalent for righteousness. When I was down in Mexico, Brother Cody would translate, we'd say righteousness, justicia. Justicia. Sound like justice, doesn't it? Well, it is. That's the word. There is no equivalent for righteousness. But justice and righteousness are really the same thing. He does what's right. He'll do what's right. When you see verses like he'll deal with his people in judgment, that is, he'll do what's right. He'll do what's right. God will do what's right. He must. And he's God. He's just. God is immutable, unchangeable. He cannot change. He will not change. And boy, you sons of Jacob, in a changing world, here's a place to go and a place, a rock solid place to stay. God says, I change not. I change not. His love. God is love. And so he must love. Now listen. And whoever he loves, he must love them forever. Because love never faileth. That's what God said to him. Charity, love, never faileth. True love cannot quit loving the one it loves. God is love. Are you with me? That elicited a few smiles. He cannot. He must love, and he cannot fail in that love. Cannot. God is merciful. That's who he is. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to proclaim my name. In Exodus 34, he said, I'm the Lord God. And the first thing he said was, merciful. Merciful. I remember years ago as a young believer hearing a preacher say that God had to show mercy because God is merciful. And I remember thinking at the time, I don't agree with that. Well, I do now. And I'm real glad it's so. I used to be more concerned with God's sovereignty. God is sovereign in his mercy. He says, I will show mercy to whom I will. That's God's glory, his sovereignty. That he saves whom he will, chooses whom he will. But they go hand in hand. God's glory is showing mercy. That's what makes him God and not man. Man is not merciful by nature. God is. And he must show it. To be God, he must show it. And he did. And Patrick, whoever he shows it to and promises it to, now, if you're a sinner, that's the best news you'll ever hear. He said, I will be merciful to their iniquities. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Why? Because he's God and not man. Scripture in Proverbs says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel, or that is what mercies they seem to have. They're no mercy at all. Oh, but God... Oh, and I'm getting way ahead of myself here. But God is merciful. That's what he is. God is gracious. He's called the God of all grace. Grace means gift. God is the giver. He's the great giver. He doesn't need anything. And he really doesn't take anything. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. If I were thirsty, I wouldn't ask you. If I needed money, I wouldn't ask you. It all belongs to me. He's the great giver, the God of all grace. And Scripture says he delights to give. And giveth, and giveth, and giveth, and giveth. He's God. He's not man. Man's a taker. right? What's in it for me? But no, God says, what can I do for you? He's God, not man. And so this is for our great comfort, our hope. God is God and not a man. Listen to this. One of my favorite Psalms, 103, says this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Man's not, is he? Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. It means he has a lot to go around. Never runs out. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. The Lord is merciful. Scripture says he delights to show mercy. That's not man. That's not the way of man. Man is not merciful by nature. God is. Scripture says he's ready to pardon, ready to forgive. Full of tender mercy. That word tender, mercies, it says that often. That's the word bowels. Bowels. That means it's in the depth of his person to be merciful. To be merciful. He says, I will show mercy. And that's wonderful because that's our greatest need. A sinner's greatest need is mercy, and it's one of God's greatest glory. He said, I will be merciful. I will. And as I said, old Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory, and the Lord said, this is my name. Merciful. I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering, he said. Abundant in goodness. Long-suffering. Because he's God. He's not man. And he must show mercy. He's God. And his mercy, like him, is everlasting. He cannot quit being merciful. I will be merciful. Hebrews 12 says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquity. I'll remember no more. I'm up. And so to the sinfulest and the chief of sinners and the worst, he says, I'm merciful. I'm God, not man. Merciful. You know, there were some enemies of Israel, and they were captured by Israel, and they knew that they were destined to or deserved to die at the hands of the king of Israel. And so what they did was they knew they were about to die. That's what kings who would have another king's throne deserve. Like Adam, huh? Well, they took, every one of them took a noose, took a rope, and put it around their necks. And they all said, we hear that the king of Israel is merciful. So they all went to him with ropes around their neck. You know what happened? He was merciful. Now, that's a man. God says, I am God and not man. And everyone, the Scripture says, he delights to show mercy. It says he taketh pleasure in them that fear him and them that hope in his mercy. All who go to him for mercy, he delights to. I hear that this king is merciful. Oh, he is. He sure is. And he shows mercy to everyone that comes to him by Christ. Everyone. A rope around the neck. David, listen to this. Oh, this is a blessed passage. David said, let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. For the Lord is a very great God of mercy. But let me not fall into the hands of man. So cast yourself on the mercy of the Lord. He will show mercy, because he's God. He's not man. God is love. Now, I've told you before, I'm not a topical preacher, and I'm doing the best I can. Would you like to try this subject?
God is love. That's what he says. He says it twice over in 1 John 4. God is love. Now, John wrote this. If we love one another, God dwells in us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. There is no real love, true love, lasting love, except in God. Because God is love. God is love. And therefore, whomever God loves, they're loved. And I mean they're loved, they shall be loved forever. And since love never faileth, that is perfect love, then it can't end ever. My pastor said on the radio this morning, we're not talking about human emotion here. We're talking about the love of God. The love of God. God is love. God is love. And God cannot fail, so he cannot fail or quit loving. And we know God's love is sovereign, don't we? We know that. It must be so, Barbara, because there's nothing to love. You know, we love those that love us, don't we? We love those that are of us. Something is born from us, we have to love it. It's us. We do. But it's not in us to love our enemies, is it? Huh? Those that spitefully use us, though it's not our nature. Man, that's not man. But God is love. And we know his love is sovereign. It must be so. He set his love and affection upon a people, knowing what they would be. Knowing that they would be rebels, enemies, ungodly. Knowing that they'd be unloving. You see, there's nothing in us by nature to love. But God is love. So he must love. And whomever he loved, he said, and here's what he said. God said, Jacob have I loved. Boy, there's sovereign love in it. Jacob and Esau, two sons. And God said, I loved them before the world began, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto their mother, the elder shall serve the younger. Yea, Jacob have I loved, before they've done any good or evil. Esau have I hated. They're both going to be born sinners. They're both going to be born not knowing God, not loving God. They're both going to be rebels against God from birth. They're both going to hate God, not know God, don't even care if God exists. But God, who's rich in mercy for his great love, sovereign, eternal love, wherewith he loved Jacob, he said, Jacob have I loved. When Israel was a child, I loved him. He said to Jeremiah, concerning Israel, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you, I loved you. He said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, an eternal love. That's not only as long as it lasts, but when it began. Eternity past. Jacob have I loved. God loves his elect, his people, in Christ the Beloved. He's the chosen one. Yet he loves them like he loves Christ. Whomever he set his love upon, they're loved just like Jesus Christ. When Israel was a child, oh my, and he grew up. Oh, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. When he grew up, Israel, Jacob, was a rebel, wasn't he? He was a rebel. The only reason that Jacob didn't sell the birthright and Esau did was in the sovereign restraining grace of God. It could have easily been Jacob who sold the birthright and Esau who did not. Who restrained Jacob? God. Who constrained him? God. It's the love of Christ that constrained him. I've loved you. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I? I can't give you up. I won't give you up. Whoever he loves, He won't give you up. Listen to this over in Isaiah 49. Listen to this. This is wonderful. Turn there with me. Isaiah 49. You need to see this. Oh, this is wonderful. Isaiah 49. And He loved Jacob before. He loved Jacob during. And He'll love Jacob after. Jacob have I loved. Isaiah 49, look at this. Verses 13. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people. He will have mercy upon His afflicted. Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me. Why am I in such trouble like this? He must have forgotten me. He must not care for me. Anybody ever thought that? His people? Do you remember when the disciples, when that, they were in that storm and the Lord was sleeping in the back of the boat? And they ran to Him, and being, you know, ignorant young children that they were, they said, Lord, carest Thou not? Don't You care that we perish? We're going down. Don't You care? Oh, my. Careth not? This is why He came, that they wouldn't perish. He's not willing that any of His people should perish. And they're not going to. Carest thou not? Well, they said, this is what Zion said, and it's what we all say when we get into this self-pity mode. Lord, don't You care? Have You forgotten me? He said, verse 15, can a woman forsake her sucking child? Huh? Hannah, could you leave Lily to just leave her out in the field? Could you turn her over to an adoption agency right now, an orphanage? Could you? Women do it all the time, don't they? But our Lord said, "You think it's unthinkable, don't you? Could she? Would she not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may, but I can't." I'm God, not man. You may, and they do, but I can't. I'm God, I'm not man. I cannot forsake them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Him that cometh to me, all that the Father giveth me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, and they all will, Brother John. He said, I will no wise, for no reason, under any circumstances, ever cast them out. Because I'm God, not man. Oh, my, we're dealing with God and not man. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Huh? He said, I love them freely. Down there, and did you see that? Verse 4 of chapter 14. I will love them freely. My anger's turned away. God is propitious. Why is His anger turned away? The Son of His love, bore that anger. He made peace for us. God's not angry with His people. God, now here's a mystery, isn't it? God poured out His anger on His only beloved Son. He said, I can't get angry with you. It's turned away. Well, He says, the Lord, I'm the Lord God, merciful, I'm gracious. I'm the Lord God that is gracious, the God of all grace. That's what makes Him God. I thought about this. Since it's more blessed to give than receive, you know what the Lord said? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, since He's the blessed God, that's what He does. Just giveth and giveth. He's the great giver. Like the great parent that He is, the father that He is, He never asks for anything in return, but just gives and gives and gives. And you waste, James said, though you waste what grace He's given you, He upbraideth not. Ask for more. He keeps giving. The God of all grace. The great giver. God is the giver. Man's a taker. But He delights to show grace. And so He gives. And His gifts are without repentance. And what is His unspeakable gift? thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Here it is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There it is. John said in another place, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, a bloody sacrifice for the likes of us. How can it be? We sing that hymn, don't we? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Because He's God and not man. That's right. And we're talking about God's mercy and God's love and God's grace and the character of God. It's all seen in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The mercy of God, the grace of God, the greatest display of God's love is seen. Greater love hath no man than this. God commendeth His love toward us. How? He put His Son to death in our blood. That's because He's God and not man. Would you die for somebody that hated you? I wouldn't. Would you? He's God. This is what makes this act of God, Christ crucified, truly of God. That's not in man. Let me give you a few illustrations in closing, okay? If you illustrate a few ways how that God is God and not man. All right? Stay with me a few minutes. God is God. He's not man. And man is not ready to reconcile, or that is, be friends with those who offend him. He's just not ready to do that, especially if that person is a bad person. Somebody that offends him, man is not ready to reconcile or be friends with that person. Listen to this. In time past, we walked according to the course of this world, children of disobedience, children of wrath, even as others. But God. Would you make overtures? Would you be ready to reconcile somebody that didn't want reconciled? That didn't want anything to do with you? Would you? No, man's not there. He says, I'm God and not man. In Isaiah 1, talks about man being what he is, from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. But God says, come now. Why would you want anything? Because I'm God and not man. Listen to this. These verses you know. Over in Colossians 1, he says, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He reconciled. Listen to this. Oh, you know, we might die for, we might do something good for a decent man. See, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, His people, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Man's not ready to reconcile those who offend him, especially those that are real bad. But God, He says, I'm a God ready to pardon. Ready to pardon. Listen to this. Some people are willing to forgive. Some men, women are willing to pardon and reconcile if that person asks for it. If they'll just come to me and ask me for forgiveness, I might forgive them. But they got to ask for it. They don't deserve it. Isaiah 65:1 is where it is, Jeanette. He said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Those that don't even ask for me. He has to make them ask. Can you think of that? They ought to be begging. They ought to be pleading for mercy. But no, they're not even interested. But God comes to them. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. That's why Paul wrote that to those Pharisees. He said, "Oh, despisest thou the riches of His grace, O man? Knowest not it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance." What a gift. What a grace of God. Oh, my. God always moves first because He's God and not man. He's not waiting. He's moving. He always moves. If we love Him, you know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. If we call on Him, you know why we call on Him? Because He called us. If we repent, you know why we repent? The goodness of God led us to that. He says, because I'm God and not man. If He waited on us, it never happened. I'm God. Some men are willing to pardon or reconcile if the offender doesn't do it again. We might be merciful and forgive somebody if they just don't do it again. Don't repeat the offense. Somebody does something to us, we've forgiven them for it already, and we say, "Oh, here he goes again. He's up to it again." You know, a man can only take so much. That's right. God says, "But I'm God and not man. How much can He take? How long must I bear with you?" He said to those disciples. How long must I bear with you? To make them stop and think what grief they'd caused Him all those years. How long must He? Forever. Because He's God. That's why. He says, "I'm the Lord God, long-suffering, patient. I'm God, not man." How long will He put up with His people? As long as necessary. As long until they're made perfect in the image of Christ. Oh, my. God says, "I'm ready to pardon." Man, listen to this, and I close. A couple more. Man sure wouldn't keep after somebody who kept rejecting that pardon, would he? Huh? If you wrote a letter and said, "I'll pardon anyone who comes to me, whosoever will, doesn't matter how, I'll pardon them that they come to me." And that person keeps rejecting it? Not interested. Year after year after year, keep rejecting it? Huh? Wouldn't you finally give up? He says, "I'm God and not man. Whoever He loves, He's going after. And He's going to get them. He's going to get them." This is what we call irresistible grace. He's going to have His bride. Hosea went after Gomer. She wasn't looking for him. She's running from him, trying to hide from him. But he's looking for her. And he found her. He found her. Listen to this. Man may forgive, but he can't forget. And you know, that's really no forgiveness at all. "I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you..." That's not forgiveness. Spurgeon called it a one-legged forgiveness. It doesn't walk well. But God says, "Their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more." He said, "The iniquity of Israel shall be sought, and it won't be found." The God who can forget nothing said, "I forget." "But Lord, I did this." "I forget." "But Lord, it's written in your book." "No, it's not. It's blotted out." How can you do that? "Because I'm God and not man." We can't forget. We can't forget. It's not humanly possible for us to forget what someone's done to us. God said, "But I'm God, not man." And the closest we can understand that is our children. A rebellious child. The closest we can get to understanding that is our children that have rebelled against us, and later on they come to us and they say in repentance and they say in sorrow and grieving over what they did, the grief they caused us, their rebellion against us, and we truly, from the heart, say, I don't remember. I've forgotten all that. Don't you? Huh? Well, how much more shall you have my Father? Huh? You said, you being evil? How much more me? I'm God and not man. He said, I forget and it's forgotten. It's forgotten. And lastly, man may forgive a little bit. Man may reconcile a little bit. Man may pardon somewhat. But he sure wouldn't take somebody who has tried his best to kill him, who tried his best to bring his name down, tried his best to get rid of him, ungrateful, unthankful. He sure wouldn't take that person and adopt him into his family and provide for him and leave all his inheritance to him from then on as a son, as a child. He wouldn't do that, would he? But God says, I'm God and not man. And that's precisely what he did. Precisely what he did. How can I give thee up, Ephraim, my people? Huh? How shall I deliver thee? How shall I destroy you? I didn't come to destroy you. I came to save you. Because I'm God and not man. Glory be to God. Okay. Brother Gabe, you come. Leave.